this is about as close to heaven as you'll ever get on this earth. Couldn't help but think, as Brother Terry sang and played and Jenny played. I don't remember how many years ago it was, but we were here with the Home Baptist Church in revival meeting. And I think Jenny and Terry were just getting to like each other. But anyhow, Brother Titus had talked to Terry some, and he liked everybody, but he said, "I'll never join a church that believes what y'all believe about the church." If I'm not mistaken, he became at least a tentative member before the meeting was over with. And I sat and listened to him play and sing a while ago. One that wouldn't join the church, and now he's a choir director. Lord can do marvelous things, can't he? That's the way it works. We are thankful to the Home Baptist Church for even having the conference and inviting us to be here. What a blessing it is just to be here. Be with you folks. People that we've grown to know and to love over many years. I remember the first conference that you had at Home Baptist Church, and Brother Don Titus invited me. As a matter of fact, that was the first conference I'd ever preached in. And he invited me, and of course, some of them told me, and I won't get into detail, but said, if you go up there, you'll wind up just being negative like all they are. When I learned one thing about their negativity, they were positively negative. They positively knew what they were negative about, and then questioned about it. But we've enjoyed all these years. I forget, somebody said 27, 28 years, however many it's been. I missed one conference. All the rest of them, we've been here. Thank God for that. I'm honest, folks. This is a very special blessing for me. I don't know. I believe probably Brother Clyde Hancock is the oldest preacher here. I don't know, but I got worried about it. I asked somebody, I said, "Is Brother Hancock going to be there at the conference?" And they said, "Yeah, they thought so." I said, "I'm glad. If he's not, I'll probably be the oldest." So I'm glad you're here, Brother Hancock. But we are thankful to the church for inviting us and letting us come. I enjoyed the message that we just heard, all the singing. But I must confess that the choir song that just sang a few minutes ago, almost more than I can handle. The Lord lets me live till June of this year. I would have been in the ministry for 50 years. Now, I didn't say I'd preached all 50 years, but the first 9 was a bunch of foolishness. But at least the Lord called me and brought me in submission 50 years ago. And some of you young people think you're happy and you're enjoying life. I'll tell you something, unless the Lord sees different, I've got an advantage on you. Because I'm going to get what you heard sung about a few minutes ago before you do. Unless the Lord intervenes. Won't be long. Whether by leaving this world in death or by being raptured out of it, one way or the other, won't be long. I'll be with him. And I'm looking forward to it. I realize that getting old has some difficulties. I have to slow down and watch what so my wife can keep up with me. And every once in a while, you'll have a knee joint that'll hurt a little bit. But I'm telling you, folks, I'm having the time of my life. I really am. It just gets brighter and brighter. It won't be long till it shines into a perfect day. One of the things I'm looking forward to, certainly some of those that's gone on, but it's also to have some of you with me. I wish I thought it would be all of you. But I doubt in a congregation this large, if every one of you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and ready to meet Him. But I know some of you are. You've manifested it in your lives as you witness for Him. I think I probably had the greatest difficulty of knowing what to preach this conference than I ever have. Usually I have some idea ahead of time and jot down a few things, but I don't know, I couldn't get it together. I just really couldn't. And like most of you did, I brought a whole notebook full of outlines. And most of them are still in the car. But prayed about it, and I don't usually dream about my sermon. Usually when I dream, it's a mess. You know, it doesn't mean anything. But I got to dreaming about what I would preach during this conference, and every time I would dream about it, it seemed like I was trying to demonstrate or show something while I was preaching. And I only have one thing to show tonight while I'm preaching, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And it may be that my preaching may interfere with that showing of Him, because I certainly do not have the ability to lift Him up and to honor and glorify Him like you should be and like I'd like to. You know, I've often desired to have the vocabulary that R.G. Lee had, to use adjectives like he could use to describe something. He could take words and paint a picture as beautiful as any artist could with a brush. I wish I could do that, but I can't. But I heard that when he was on his deathbed at home with his daughter, and he called her in to the room where he was, and said, "I want to tell you something." And she said, "Yes, Papa, what is it?" He said, "You remember how I used to tell you about heaven, and how I'd take the Bible and describe it to you?" And she said, "Oh, yes, Papa, I remember how beautiful it was." He said, "I want to tell you something." He said, "The Lord has showed it to me." And said, "I didn't touch the hem of the garment." So it takes more than vocabulary. It takes more than human ability. It takes the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul said, "Eye has not seen, the ear heard, neither had entered the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love Him." But then he goes on to say, "But the Spirit, the Holy Spirit has revealed them unto us." You and I have been given a glimpse of things that this old, evil, filthy, wicked, sinful world will never see. I wonder sometimes in Isaiah, it tells us about when we all gather in heaven and we look down and we'll see those that transgress God's law in the lake of fire. I don't have time to get into that. But I'm wondering if not those that are in that lake of fire cannot look up and maybe for the first time in their whole life, they'll get a glimpse of what they missed and is real to you and I. I'm having a time, folks. I'm looking forward to that time when the Lord will call me. Over in Revelation chapter 19. And Luke 21, and I don't remember exactly what verse, but along about 25 somewhere in there, the Lord tells about some of the things that's going to happen before He comes back. These signs in the sun and the moon, the stars and the earth. And then there'll be distress and perplexity of nations. And then it talks about the Lord coming back in there. And He said, "When you see these things, look up. For your redemption, your salvation draws near." Folks, I really believe this tonight, that it's so close that it's just a little fog between us and Him tonight. I can almost see Him on His way here. I'm looking for that one of these days that we heard sung about a few minutes ago. In Revelation 19, y'all have to excuse me, but I have a little problem with my eyes. Went to the doctor and he looked at him and he said, "You got cholesterol in your eyes." Well, I knew I had it in my arteries because they had to bypass some of them, but I didn't know it'd get in your eyes. But it did, and it makes my eyes water some. That's not really tears. That's that cholesterol doing all that. Just kidding. But I do have a little trouble seeing, so bear with me as we read. After these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. By the way, I preached this in a fellowship meeting here a while back. Some of you folks had heard it and don't want to hear it again. You all just pray for me while I preach it. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia. And her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. Now, I want you to remember that. Talking about his bride will be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousnesses of saints. Amen. And he saith unto me, Right blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship, and he said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in his righteousness he doth judge and make war. And his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his head were, and on his head were many crowns, and had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Now notice, I told you to remember something a while ago. And she was arrayed in clean and white, which is the righteousness of saints. Now notice, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, plain and white. Who do you think is coming back when he comes back to judge this old world? It's his bride with him. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his side a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Notice verse 1. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. The Lord will help us. We'd like to think about just for a little while tonight some heavenly hallelujahs. Amen. Some heavenly hallelujahs. Now it said, after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven. So these are some eternal hallelujahs. Something that is going on in heaven, not just down here on this earth with the blessing we receive, but something's going to be in heaven eternally. The Bible says, worthy is the Lamb. He's worthy of our praise and our honor eternally. It's not going to be just a short service we gather around and say, praise God, hallelujah, but throughout eternity we'll be praising him. Amen. You know, there are those today that seemingly are trying to take our blessed hope away from us. The joy that you and I have tonight as a child of God is a blessed hope. Jesus said, because I live, you shall live also. One day he's coming back, and this old crazy world that we're living in, where one person can all at once lock the doors of a school and kill 33 people and wound many others and then shoot himself. One of these days, the Lord's coming back, and he's going to take us, his people, out of this old world. Do away with those things that constantly hinder and hurt us. But Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10 says that while we're in this world, that there's one thing that gives you and I strength to cope with it, to be able to handle the things in this world. And that strength is the joy of the Lord. Our strength is in the joy of the Lord. You know, I hate to see, and I hate for it to happen to me, as old Brother L.G. Rich, an old country boy like me down in Tennessee, says, a Christian that's walking around with his face down in the dumps like dead flies is falling off of him. He puts it this way, said a face so long he could drink milk out of a jug. I don't know whether you know what that is or not. That takes a long face. But there's not much strength or power in that kind of a Christian that has that attitude. But you find one that's happy and rejoicing in the Lord, and he'll tell you about his Lord and about what he has done in his heart because his Lord and Savior. I want to tell you a little story I read about two churches down in Georgia, two black churches. One of them was up on the mountain, other one was down in the valley. They called that one up on the mountain the High Church because it was way up there. Not only that, but it had a lot of things that this church down the valley didn't have. They had the robe choirs and the seminary preacher and they had their contemporary music and Christian rock and had all of that. I mean, they was making a lot of noise and a lot of commotion. That was the High Church. Down the valley was the Low Church. Some little old country folk that met down there on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, maybe for a week or two during the summer. And they'd get happy and rejoice in the Lord. The old preacher, Pastor Brother Robinson, been there for 50 years. I believe it 53, actually, I read. And finally, he was getting feeble, and he felt like maybe he really couldn't do justice to pastoring the church. So he told him, said, you need to get another preacher. But while he was there, he'd preach to him from the Bible and preach him the Word of God about Jesus Christ. And there was an old Deacon Martin in that church, and he'd get excited when that pastor would tell him about the Lord Jesus Christ and about one day he's coming back, and he'd holler amen every once in a while, maybe hallelujah. Finally, the old preacher left, and they got one of these young fellows out of seminary. He came down, and he was trying his best. I mean, he really wanted to do good, but he just couldn't get with it. And that old deacon wanting to help him, you know, and trying to encourage him, and he'd say, amen, brother. Tell it like it is. And it messed that preacher up. He'd lose his place, get all crossed up, and he tried it for a Sunday or two, and he just couldn't go. Finally, he told some of the other deacons, said, y'all talk to old Deacon Martin. Tell him he's going to have to stop that. It's messing me up. I'm losing my place. So the rest of the deacons went out where old Deacon Martin was. He was out there plowing in the field, had his mules plowing. And they said, brother, we came out here to talk to you. Said, our new pastor said you was interfering with his preaching. Said, when you'd say amen, maybe praise the Lord, every once in a while he'd lose his place and couldn't find it. Said, he wants you to stop it. He said, well, I'm sorry, brother, and I certainly don't want to interfere with the preaching. Said, I was just trying to encourage him and help him a little bit. Let him know there's somebody out here that loved the Lord. But he said, I'll tell you what. Said, you just don't know how dirty and black this old boy's heart was. When the good Lord came down, revealed himself to me, and showed me how dirty and how filthy and how sinful I was. And he saved my old wretched soul. Not only that, but he gave me a wife. And he saved her. And he gave me three boys. And he saved them. Said, you see this farm? He gave me this farm. Those cows and the sheep and these mules. Said, by the way, would you hold them while I shout? Now, folks, I'm not talking about some superficial nonsense that goes on in this world today. I'm not talking about jumping and screaming and hollering. What I'm talking about tonight is the joy that this old black fella had in his heart. That lets the world know there is a God, and he is on the throne today, and he's real in our hearts. I do believe in a heartfelt religion tonight. As a matter of fact, I have it down in here. He put it there many years ago, and I've never gotten over it yet. So I want to talk just for a little while tonight about these hallelujahs. It's awfully hard to get to it. I get to thinking about so many things. I look out and see all of you folks. Some of you, 30 or 40 years ago, I didn't even know. Now I not only know you, but one day I'm going to live eternally in heaven with you. Then I can't get over that. I really can't. And all of that is because of what Jesus Christ did 2,000 years ago on the cross. I read somewhere where they were standing out at Gordon's Calvary, there outside of the city of Jerusalem, where Golgotha was, and said they were talking about the crucifixion of Christ, and said R.G. Lee was standing there. Somebody saw him just sort of staring off in space and said to him, said, "Brother Lee, have you been here before?" He said, "Yeah, 2,000 years ago." Amen. Paul said, "I'm crucified with Christ. Amen. Yet I live, but it's not me that's living, but it's Jesus Christ living in me." He's in here tonight, folks, right down here. And he's with me wherever I go. He never leaves me. He never forsakes me. Hallelujah. First of all, hallelujah for a finished redemption. Jesus conquered sin on the cross. Colossians 2:14-15 said those handwritings, those ordinances that was against us, God's law that condemned us to hell, said he took them and he nailed them to the cross and he triumphed over them. Now you and I are free because of what he did on the cross. And he finished it. Folks, I'm not hoping I'll make it. I know I'll make it. It's not depending upon me. As R.G. Lee said, he took care of that 2,000 years ago on Calvary. Paid for. In Hebrews 9:26, "For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world, he hath appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." Put it away. You ever read over Leviticus chapter 16 about the scapegoat? Where the old high priest symbolically would lay his hands on that scapegoat and symbolically transfer the sins of God's people to that goat. Then they'd take a fit man, not just any man, but a certain one, picked out, prepared and approved to do this job. And he carried that scapegoat with typically the sins of God's people out into an uninhabited place, a forsaken place, a separated place where nobody had ever been. And there he left that old goat with the sins on it. And he came back and the Bible said that he took off them clothes that had on when he carried that goat out there. And he washed his body and he put on some new clean clothes and there wasn't even the smell of that old goat on it. Hebrews 9:28 said Christ once died for the sins of many and one of these days he's coming back without sin. Amen. Our sins are gone. He took them away. He didn't just cover them up. Over in Romans chapter 5, there's a word that says atonement. Really, it ought to be reconciliation. It was atonement in the Old Testament. Before Jesus Christ died, the high priest would take the blood and carry it in the Holy of Holies once a year, put it on the mercy seat, and that blood covered that broken law that God's people had broken. When God looked down, instead of seeing the people that had broke his law and that broken law, he saw the blood. Their sins were atoned. Were covered up. Was covered up. But I want to tell you, the Bible tells in Ephesians chapter 4, when Jesus Christ came and he died, those Old Testament saints that couldn't go into the presence of God because the real Lamb of God, the pure, incorruptible blood, had not been put on their sins yet. And they had to stay down in that prison called Hades. But when Jesus Christ died on the cross and he took the real blood, as John the Baptist said, the blood of the Lamb that taketh away the sins of the world. When he put that blood, not symbolically, on that Ark of the Covenant inside that old tabernacle temple, but in the real one in heaven, it said that he set those in Hades, he set them free and carried them into the presence of Almighty God. They're not covered up. They're gone. Never to be remembered. God said, I'll never remember your sins against you anymore. Hallelujah. He completed the job. He said in John chapter 17, verse 4, he prayed to the Father, and he said, restore the glory to me that I had before with you before the world began. And then he said, why? Because he said, I finished the work thou gavest me to do. In Hebrews, again, chapter 10, verse 12, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice forever, sat down on the right hand of the Father. No other priest could ever do that because the work wasn't finished. But Jesus Christ, our priest, he finished it. It is complete. It is over with. Hebrews 10, 14, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. No wonder the Bible speaks of old Job being perfect. Jesus Christ perfected him forever, just like he did you and I, by the sacrifice of himself. Hebrews 9:28, we mentioned, said Christ once was offered to bear the sins of many, not everybody, but many, and to them that look for him will he return without sin unto salvation. Isaiah 53. I'm talking about the hallelujah, finished, completed redemption. Folks, it's not something we're waiting for and hoping for. We already have it. He finished it. Nothing you can do to add to it or take away from it. Romans chapter 8, and I don't remember, but it's somewhere in the 30s of the verses of that 8th chapter, said, who shall lay any charge to God's elect? It's Christ that died and is risen again. I mean, he did it all. He completed it. Isaiah 53:11 said that God would see all the travail of his soul. It didn't say he'd see the travail of his soul. He certainly saw the travail. He saw the suffering of his soul. But what satisfied God wasn't just the suffering, but the result of his suffering. All the travail. He saw his seed. He saw those that he died for and paid for, and God said, that's it, I'm satisfied. It's sure. You know why? I know it's sure. Revelation 13:8 said, the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world, he took care of that back in eternity, folks. No way you and I can mess it up. He took care of that. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5 says, as a matter of fact, he predestinated us to be the adopted sons of God. Old song, Happy Day, said, 'tis done. The great transaction's done. I'm his and he's mine. Redeemed, how I love to reclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed by his infinite mercy, his child, and forever I am. Finished work of redemption. Hallelujah for the completed work of redemption. Not only that, there's another hallelujah. Hallelujah for the revelation of the Lord. Some brother, he asked me earlier tonight, we were talking. He said somebody had told him I was a hyper-Calvinist. Somebody had said, are you a sub-lapsarian or a super-lapsarian? I'm a super-duper-lapsarian. I don't believe there's a gnat flies that God didn't send him. I believe you go down the road and put on your brakes and your wheel hits the gravel and that gravel scatters out and hits blades of grass. I don't believe one of them was an accident. My God tonight is absolute. He's absolutely in control. He knows what's going on. I don't understand all the moves that he makes. I heard a fellow say the other night about his wife that died. She was young. They only lived together just a short while. She was a dedicated Christian, young lady. And he made this statement, said she told him just before she died, you know, naturally I could understand how sorrowful he was in losing his young bride. But said she looked at him and said, don't be sorrowful. She said, I had a lot of plans, but said the Lord had something planned better than I did. Took her home. You and I may not understand all the workings of God, but I guarantee you it's a lot better than it would have been if he'd left it up to us. Revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look with me in verse 6. And I heard of Revelation 8, and I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Amen. Then look at me over in verse 11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in his righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And then skip on now with me in verse 15. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Thank God he was pleased to reveal himself to me and you. You and I would have never known him. I just read in the paper the other morning. I forgot whether it was a congressman or a senator. Said he didn't believe in God anymore. Well, he never did believe in him. Matter of fact. But I want to tell you something, folks. When he came the first time, there wasn't room for him. Nobody wanted him. When he comes the next time, nobody but his own will want him. But I want to tell you, the tyrants, the dictators, the emperors, the potentates, the kings, the presidents, the senators, the congressmen, the judges, even Supreme Court judges, are going to bow and declare that he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They'll lay their crowns down and bow before him, declare that he's Lord. Thank God he revealed him to us before he came back for us. Revealed himself. I couldn't help but think about this. When I heard Brother Hancock preaching, all the same, you know, over Luke 1:17, it tells us about an old Baptist preacher by the name of John, and said he was preparing a people for the Lord. That's exactly the same thing true Baptists are doing today. Preparing people for the Lord. They're not, as old Brother Hancock said, they're not worried about a 401k. You know, a few years ago, my church started a retirement fund for me and mutual funds, and I had never looked in a paper before in my life at the stock market, and I found myself looking at that crazy thing. Man, that thing built up. I think it got up about $60,000. Man, I got excited. I was thinking about retiring. No. The next thing you know, some of you know Jim Miller. I had it with him. Whatever that is, I don't remember now, but Lyle and Hillard or something. But anyhow, man, the bottom began to fall. And I thought me and my wife wasn't going to sleep. I never had a nest egg before when that thing beginning to crack. I said, we better take that thing out. We did. Transferred it to a bank. I knew what happened. They gave us 2%. I think when I got it out of the mutual funds and put it in the bank, we lost about $20,000, I think. Had it in there for a while, and man, that thing wasn't doing any good at all. The charger for the bank was almost as much as we was making. So I got in touch with another fellow, and they said, oh, yeah, we can help you out. And you just put it in this. After there, that thing got getting smaller and smaller. I've been trying to get out of that and hadn't been able to lately. But the point I'm trying to make in all of this, folks, I don't care if you've got hundreds of thousands of dollars in the bank. As Brother Hancock said tonight, your protector and your caregiver is one that sits on the throne in heaven. If he blessed you with retirement account, he can take that same retirement account away from you. I'm glad tonight that he was pleased to show me that he was the one that I needed. The only Savior, the only mediator between man and God is Christ Jesus tonight. And he intercedes on my behalf, made himself known. Not only that, but I say hallelujah for the fact that he revealed a lot of truth. Folks, there are people of us sitting here in this congregation tonight that knows things that presidents and kings don't know. Like that fellow thought that I was a hyper-Calvinist, whatever that is. I really don't know what a hyper-Calvinist is. I mean, you're either a Calvinist. I'm not a Calvinist, by the way. I'm a Baptist. But they're talking about the doctrines of grace, the sovereignty of God. God's either sovereign or he's not sovereign. Just that simple. But you and I tonight need to recognize the value of the truth that Jesus Christ has been pleased to reveal. Man, I was a universalist in salvation and in church for years until God, and I don't know why he fooled with me, but God was pleased to put me in a place where I was exposed to the truth, and his Holy Spirit made me see and understand that it really was the truth. And I love it with all my heart. And I was talking to somebody here a while back. And by the way, I'm not a deformed Baptist. I'm a Sovereign Grace Missionary Baptist. And if you're not that kind, you're a deformed Baptist. A deformed something. But if I was to backslide and get away from God, I'd still believe what I believe now. I mean, I know it's the truth. And the reason I know it is because the Lord Jesus Christ, through the person of the Holy Spirit, revealed that to me. I didn't learn it out of a book. I didn't learn it by going to Bible college. I learned it by the Holy Spirit. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:14 that the natural man cannot understand or discern spiritual things. They're only spiritually discerned. You ever wonder why you was talking to a lost person and it didn't make sense to them? Just look back and remember how it was with you before you were saved. The Holy Spirit. Thank God for him revealing himself to us. And then in chapter 21 and verse 1, it tells us another about a hallelujah. And I'm going to get through here in just a minute. I don't know what time it is. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away and there was no more sea. Hallelujah for restoration. Amen. One of these days, the curse is going to be lifted. Yep. A new heaven and a new earth. Amen, old things have passed away. Everything is going to be new. Amen, and you and I no longer will have to face this old cursed earth that we live in today because of man's sin. No more curse. No more hospitals. No more funerals, no more orphanages, no more hunger. We'll be fed like the children of Israel was in the wilderness on heavenly food coming down from God. Revelation 21 and 5 says, behold, I make all things new. You know, the Bible tells us in, I believe it's Revelation 3 and 21, that now Jesus Christ sets in God's throne, the Father's throne. And then he goes on to say, one of these days, he's going to sit in his own throne. Those people that say that Jesus Christ is already sitting on his throne don't know what the Bible says. It says he's sitting in the Father's throne. But he has a throne promised him by God through old David centuries ago. And one of these days he's going to sit on in Jerusalem and rule and reign. And when he does, this whole earth eventually will be restored as paradise was in the Garden of Eden. And then, last of all, the hallelujah of the reality of the resurrection. Here in Revelation 20 and verse 6, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. We'll be priests of God in Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And folks, 1,000 years means 1,000 years. You can call it a gospel millennium. You can call it a millennium, whatever it is. But 1,000 years means 1,000 years. And God said it 6 times in a row. He only had to say it once. But he said it 6 times in a row. If I can't believe that, no reason for me to believe in the rest of the Bible. God said it. As one fellow told Brother Eugene Clark, it doesn't matter whether I believe it or not. That settles it. God said it. He's coming back to this earth one of these days. God's going to say, son, it's time to go. You went over 2,000 years to go. 2,000 years ago, down to earth to save my people from their sins. You did that on Calvary's cross when you paid for their sin and cleansed them with your blood. Now it's time to go and bring my children home. I can almost see the archangel standing there with the trumpet, almost at his lips. Several years ago, a fellow got a little bit offended at Brother Eugene Clark because of his stand on separation and how a person that's saved ought to live. And he looked at him and he said, you think you're perfect, don't you? Brother Clark said, all I like is a trumpet blowing. That's all. Old Archangel is going to blow that trumpet. Man, you're talking about a grand parade going to take place. Jesus Christ is going to come in the clouds, take all of his saints out, carry his bride up heaven, and he's going to place her before the judgment seat of Christ, clothe her with that white robe, and marry her. And they're going to be guests. Oh, yeah. Old Moses and Abraham, Abel, and oh, they're going to be guests there. Brother Hancock talked about over in Hebrews 11, about that place Abraham's looking for, who's sitting, who's building makers God, just pilgrims, they're going to be there. Then there's going to be some others, won't be guests, going to be in that parade. Old V.A. Turner, some of you remember him? Had a fist but like a horse's foot. I mean, it was a monstrous fist. He beat a lot of pulpits up. He had to do that to get the attention of some people sometime. There'll be some others. They're going to be part of the bride. I really believe they're in the bride. Really do. Dempsey Anderson, Wilbur Johnson, Eugene Clark, Harry Haley. I could go on and on. If he doesn't come soon, it's probably some of you sitting in this congregation may be in that group. And I believe there's going to be an old Baptist preacher over there. He's not going to be part of the bride. He said he just rejoiced in hearing the bridegroom's voice. And Jesus said, no man born of woman greater than old John the Baptist. I sort of believe he'd be the best man standing there. Somebody said, well, I think as Paul said he'd be troubled. He's talking about the church at Corinth. Now, Jesus got his bride ready. He picked her out. Got her ready. But I believe old John the Baptist is going to stand over there proud beside the Lord Jesus Christ that he heralded is coming on this earth. You know, it used to be an old Negro spiritual song, if I can use that term. It said, all of God's children are going to have shoes. Going to put on those shoes and walk all over God's heaven. I don't care whether I have shoes or not. I'd like for my feet to feel those gold streets. Amen. They've never done that before. Amen. I don't know what the same song or one like it said, you're going to have a long white robe, going to put on that robe and walk all over God's heaven. I don't care if I've got on overalls. It don't make no difference. Just as long as I see Jesus, the one that died for me. That's what I want to see. One with the sword-pierced sides, nail prints in his hands and his feet. As the song says, when you look for me, look for me at his feet. As old John the Revelator said, even so come, Lord Jesus. Thank you and God bless you for the Lord.